All right, so welcome to Office Hours. I'm a little bit late. Apologies for that. I don't know what just happened there on my desk, but never mind. Loud noises. So let's get on with questions. Make sure to drop questions in the question thread if you have them. If you don't know what question thread is, someone will link it to you, hopefully, because I'm juggling like four or five things due to my lateness. So looking at the questions in the question thread, we have a couple from J4, so let's go through them. First up is, how are you doing? And the answer there is, I'm very busy. Let's go ahead and let's lock last week's. Make sure people find the new one. There we go, locked. So I woke up. I didn't sleep very well last night. Just one of those nights, you know, nothing out untoward. Just it sometimes happens. And so I had to wake up for a 10 a.m. meeting, and then I had to go to the dentist at like 1:30, and I was running late, so I took a $5 Uber ride. That's how short it was. Down to the dentist, and the dentist did like a whole host of work and then basically said like, hey, your insurance is kind of crappy. And it's like, yeah, my insurance is kind of crappy, so lots of stuff they want to do is going to cost money. But when it comes to teeth, I kind of just say okay. The one thing I said no to, though, now why are we talking about teeth, I don't know, but whatever, is that they were like, hey, you know, we could fix some of the like alignment issues with Invisalign. And for those who don't know, Invisalign is like the hip new way of doing teeth alignment. And it basically is wear hard plastic that slowly pulls your teeth into a correct place. And I they're like, it's so easy. You just have to wear this lump of plastic inside your mouth 24/7, unless you're eating or brushing your teeth. And it's just like, yeah, just. So I say to the dentist, it's like, I don't think I'm going to be able to tolerate that. And then like their dental tech comes in and says, I'm wearing them, and I've been wearing them in 10 months, you know, just to sort of give a sort of testimony, I guess. But I was just like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. As for the cost, yeah, insurance would have covered any of it. They had like a grand off of it as like a December like promotion, but it was still like $5,000 or something. So I don't need perfectly straight teeth. I've decided not for 4K and not for having lumps of plastic inside my face for 12 months. I've got a treat for you today because he decided to wake up and come over. That is how the second question is going. The third question. So the second question is from Jay, who says, from the announcements in announcements, have you already gotten ideas of fun stuff that you want to do? Unfortunately for me, there isn't really any like fun new stuff that I need to do. There's just lots of stuff that I haven't been able to do because I've been busy with other things. So it pretty much is going to be status quo for me. That is disappointing me, but I'll try and do some fun stuff. The moment I tried to think of something fun that I would do, a bunch more work appeared from like other places. And I just like, it's easier for me to focus on what I would have been doing had I not been working on business work back in March, right? If anything, it would be like a complex issue that takes a while for everyone to look at. So like a day or so ago, I was thinking like, why don't I just for December fix IPv6, right? It can't be that complicated. We've got a mod that does it. I know that there needs to be some edits to the bridge and relay to allow that. I think those are most from a sort of infrastructure point of view, as in we need to give them an IPv6 route rather than technical. But, you know, I was like, maybe I'll just fix that for December. And then it's like, well, maybe I'll just fix the asset variance worker, right? So for context, that runs on Windows under, I think it runs .NET 8 now, but it could run under Linux under .NET 9, and it would be very, very much more performant in that environment. So maybe I should do that. But like, these are all things that I would have done had I not been working on business stuff. So it's a little bit like challenging. I know some of the things that others are going to work on. But one of the things about it being fun is like, we don't really want to talk about it too much, because if we talk about the work too much, it becomes unfun. Like you'll see GitHub issues and stuff like that. But, you know, can you imagine if there was like, I don't know, a feature that we're working on that we're trying to do for fun, and it turned into like a huge deal, exactly like Photon Dust. It wouldn't be fun anymore. That's the kind of sort of stuff, like still do work, but maybe something that's like more fun or personally motivating. For me, personally motivating is that alerts channel never going off again. I think it went off today, didn't it? Frix was working on some cloud stuff, but yeah, it went off today. So the new alert that you're seeing there is for upload jobs and record pre-process jobs. I'm still configuring that alert because it looks like it's still being wrong. What I said was, hey, take an average, and if the average is above 100 for 5 minutes, let us know. I might have to bump that up to 10 minutes. I'll see the window that this all resolved in. Let's see. 140. Oh, no, that was the previous one. So yesterday at 210. So 210 it fired, and then it looks like it fired again 5 minutes later. Yeah, that's that 5 minute thing. And then it fired 10 minutes later, and then looks like it resolved itself in the same update. It was like, hi, I'm firing, but I'm also at high fedder. Yep. Hello. Yes, I'm Mo. I know that my face tastes good. I've had lots of dental stuff done, so it's dentistry up here. Yes, hello, Fed. Hi, hello. Could you get down, please? Can we stop licking me? Thank you. No. Chill out, mate. There we go. So that's the second question. The third question is how the dog doing. The dog is right here. Look at them. This is Feta, for those who don't know. This is my dog. They have their own wiki page, you know, on their internet wiki. I made them a page. Let's move forwards. Rose says, why do you have no mouth on your profile picture? I will show you why. Go to pictures, avatars. We tried to add mouth. We tried to add mouth. We tried to add like lip sync at one point, and it just ended up looking horrible. And yeah, I know that the mouth there is too high, but we raised it that high for the lols. This particular creation happened at the same time as, I have to go to a different folder for this, as all of these Pokemon. A friend photoshopped my face onto a bunch of Pokemon, so that used to be my Mixer offline image. Each one that isn't a Pokemon or of me has a reference that is a story for another day. Let's move on. So that's that question. Hi, Feta. You got some eye boogers. Hands up in the audience here who's got a dog that gets eye boogers. And you're like, I have to deal with your eye boogers, dog. Where are we? All right, questions. Nuki. How do reflection probes work? I can see what they do, but I'm not quite sure what they're doing on the rendering level. Are they playing some sort of per pixel based on the normals? Are they running on the GPU? It's going to be a Gein's question again. What I do know is that they give extra data to the rendering pipeline to render those reflections. That's all I know about them. I also know that you can't rotate them. It's a limitation that is like, it's okay, but it does sometimes mean that you have areas where reflection probes might overlap. Let's say you had a cramped building with several rooms next to each other. You might end up in a space there where if you baked a reflection probe per room, where you could not have an appropriate reflection probe, maybe like where those rooms overlap. But there's ways around. What are you doing, Feta? So this is Feta's butt. Welcome to Feta's butt. This is Feta's butt cam. I think that's all the questions we've got. So you'd enjoy the butt cam, yeah. This is Feta's tail. Do we have any additional questions? Yeah, dog. What are you doing? Come back. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's it. Sit down. There you go. What would you like to tell the audience, Feta? He looks very confused. What's up? What do you want? That's it. Chill out. Or is it the headphone cable? There you go. He was sort of lying on the headphone cable, which is one of those twisty cables, so I can understand how that might be weird for a dog to touch. Ah, I love this question. I also have the code open so I can, like, talk you through it. Because there is a technical answer, but it's also another one of those cases where, like, you shouldn't really have to worry. So the question comes from Nuki, but it's via Timuran. But, like, Timuran's a cool person. Let them know that I said that they were cool, Nuki, if you see them again. Prime said you were cool. There you go. Anyway, the question is, what is the difference between value copy and value driver? There is a difference, and one is technically more performant than the other. I just need to remind myself which. So for those unaware, and I'll give you the location of where they are. Value driver is in relations. Hi, Feta. Don't stick your tongue down my throat. Oh. So value driver is in relations, but value copy, if I can spell copy, value copy is in transform drivers. And so they're in like two different folders. Oh, it was your question. Okay. Still tell Timuran that they're cool. We tend to use value copy more, and that's because we've got extension. I'm just going to go live. Let's just make sure I'm not going to show anything sensitive. What Git branch am I on? All right. I can't show Git, but I can show everything else. Good. Share screen. Fruits engine. Go. All right. There we go. So let's make this large as well. So this is value copy. Hi, Feta. Yeah, hi, Feta. You're licking the keyboard hand. This isn't good. And value copy just does a value set hook, right? It just sets up that. And value driver does it like just a little differently. It uses field drive here rather than here where we use, no, we use field drive here as well. Like, so you can see like they're almost identical. There's just a slight difference in the way that the hooking is set up. I seem to remember that there's like a material difference. I just can't remember what it is right now. Let me see what's going on. Oh yeah, this is writeback. So this is how writeback works. So what this basically says is like, hey, if we edit the source field here, and writeback is enabled. So we've edited the value in the source field, writeback's enabled, and the source is not null, and we set up the value correctly, right? So we do a copy backwards, and that's how writeback works. You can see here in on changes, it's like the same code. It's just like a bit of if soup. I seem to remember one of them was more efficient. I don't remember which one. If you don't need writeback, arguably value driver would be. Because there's less, like, purely from a memory point of view, there's one less sync, right? So there's one less sync object. So there you go, there's your answer. There's one less sync object. Here we've got 1, 2, and here we've got 1, 2, 3. There's also no value hook, but that doesn't mean that writeback doesn't work. Now, the extensions that I was talking about are down here, and these are beautiful. Like, they're really beautiful. Like, say I had another field on here, such as, let's do sync string test and sync string test 2. What I can do is I can say, like, hey, test 2 dot, no, what is it? Drive from, yeah. Test 2 dot drive from test in code. This is all I need to do. I just need to write that. And when this runs, it will attach the value copy, set it up for me, and then return it back to the code here. So rather than writing all of this when I want to set up a value copy in code, I just need to write that. So it's really kind of cool. We've got a bunch of those. You can see that by my confusion. If I do test, and then you've got like drive from bool, drive from value. There's even... I don't remember what it's called. It's somewhere. Is it on the value? There's an equality shortcut anyway, but there you go. All right. Yeah, so technically value driver is cheaper. I cannot remember why. There may be information on that in previous recordings, because I know it's come up before, and I just can't remember. Like, I'd have to look at the code a little bit longer, or maybe search value driver in the Discord, but it might be in one of the other Discords. I don't know, but we'll see. They're very, very similar, though. Oh, Nami, I haven't seen Nami in a while. Nami's asking for search for components when. Yeah, do keep in mind that when questions are difficult, we are a small team and we're dealing with a lot of conflicting priorities. You can see conflicting priorities here. Like, I want to work, but I have a dog on my lap. Luckily, those two things work together, but you can see how if I was programming, this would get challenging. So there we go. Mr. Feder here is my reminder to take a break as well. Right? If they need to go out, or they want a little cuddle, or they want to lick my face, it's a reminder, hey, maybe you should take a break. But yeah, we don't give out wins because of our just too many conflicting priorities. If we had like a development team the size of like a larger company, we would know much, much easier like what our resource capabilities were. Oh, whoops. But we just don't. If we gave you a time, then it would be wrong. And we don't want to do that because that adds pressure to us. Like right now, for example, if I said to you, all right, and I'm not saying this, don't take this out of context, rigid body collisions will be ready in March, right? You will start putting that in your head and you'll share it with the community quite rightly because, you know, it's interesting and exciting news. And let's say now, between now and March, I don't know, we lose half of our engineering force because one of them comes down with COVID or some other illness, right? Then we're at 50% engineering staff. As an example, if I was incapacitated and couldn't work for a bit, Fruks would have to come off performance and go on to our business clients. Otherwise, we would start lacking on some of our business timelines, etc. So it's like a very fine balance. That means we literally just don't know. Feta, do we need to bark at the door? Do we need to? Is that quite required? Well, I get the harassment about it, right? Because, like, people expect, they expect people that are developing things that they pay for. You know, so if you're a patron, even if you're not a patron, though, this is the same thing. You expect us to know what's going on with our product, in some cases more than we actually do. And that's not to say, like, we're being incompetent or anything. It's just, like, we're in what's called survive mode right now. It sucks, right? We just, like, work. We just work. And I love doing it because the results are always good, but any number of things can completely upset our productivity for a week or day, and that's why we just can't give wins right now. Ask us for wins when we double our engineering team, maybe, and we'll start seeing what's going on there. We do need to sort of work on our planning sort of part of our brain and make that better. That won't be in cases of, like, giving you dates, but it might be in terms of when we do what. Right now, there's always a pause after we finish a project to sort of see, or what can we work on next. There's also sort of how many are we working on at once? How many more can we do? Because there's, like, a capacity of the team, and then there's a capacity of the individual. So Fruks's capacity, pretty much tapped out. Prime's capacity, pretty much tapped out. Let's see, on engineering front of you, Geens's capacity, tapped out. Cyro's, tapped out. Like, everyone is like, working as hard as they can on any number of things. I don't want you to think of the priority list like a sort of stack rank as well, because that is bad. There's actually the image from last week's office hours, which is a more accurate representation of it. Like, there's stuff in a bucket, and the stuff in the bucket is stuff which I've, like, taken out of another list, and it's stuff I want to do, and it's in the bucket. And therefore, I'm talking about it because I'm doing it. Yeah, it's in the bucket, but like, it's not like because it's high priority or something like that. It's like a mix of all the priority decisions, which you can find on GitHub. All together, they form the bucket contents, and then based on the bucket contents, I pick something out of the bucket and do it. Vita Arexler says in project management, the motto is under promise and overachieve. Historically, yes, but like, it's also an unhealthy thing. You have better outcomes in software the less you try and over-engineer how long something takes. So what happens a lot at, like, larger software companies is you'll have, like, a meeting at the start of a project, and you'll say to the engineer, how long is it going to take you to do this feature? And the engineer does not know. I can guarantee you 100% they do not know. But because of the structure of corporations and the way that development happens at those, they're like, well, you have to give us, like, a guess, right? And so the engineer gives the guess. But here's where the problem happens. That engineer is motivated by a varying amount of degrees to give an estimate which is untruthful, completely untruthful. But they're forced to give it anyway. And then for the moment they give that estimate, whatever it is, they are held to it in some fashion, and it might be wrong. Let's say that they said, oh, yeah, that'll take 3 weeks, right? And because they're like, oh, it's, you know, kind of hard. And then they look into it and they realize, actually, this is going to take like 3 months. They have to go back to their team and be like, I'm sorry, this is going to take 3 months. And then the project managers in the room go like, ah, but in story point meeting, blah, 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 number 3, you said it was only going to take 3 weeks. And it's like, yeah, but that was a guess. And I told you it was a guess. And then they start saying, well, your performance is less than other engineers on the team. It's ridiculous. There's also the problem that if we start using story points, people disagree on what those mean. Story points are not time. And anyone that says that they are time needs to go read the Scrum methodology again and stop pretending to do it, because you're harming the industry. Story points are intended to abstract complexity into a numeric value that allows for interpretation and abstraction. So instead of saying, hey, this is going to take 3 weeks, because that's impossible to know, you instead give a score, and some people do like 1 to 20, some people do 1 to 10, you can even get away with doing 1 to 5, right? The idea of the story point number isn't to determine how long it's going to take. The idea is to measure capacity and throughput of the team without factoring in individual minutes. So if you're doing 1 to 10 and you go, hey, Fruks, I need this feature done, it's very important for our customers, and Fruks says, yeah, sorry, that's a 10 on the like 1 to 10 scale, then you as a project manager know, like, ah, we don't have capacity for a 10 right now. We've got 3 sixes on the go, 3 threes and a bunch of twos. We don't have the capacity for a 10. And that's how it's meant to work. How it actually works, though, is project managers say, well, story points are days. How many days is it going to take? It's like, well, it's going to take 2 days. And on day two, they come down with a stomach bug and then it's screwed up. Like, sorry, I didn't mean to rant. Let's go on with it. I wouldn't say that, like, they're incompetent. I would say that they're taught badly. And additionally, they are incentivized to make up their own mind in a way that makes them look good. And that's one of the problems with managers. If the feedback that an engineering manager or a project manager is getting from other teams is your projects are taking too long, then instead of like trying to figure out holistically what that problem is, if story points are days, they'll just start looking at story points and they'll be like, oh, this took like double the amount of days that it was going to take. And I go to them, story points are not days. The reason why that took longer was because it was more complex. So if you guys have like alternative methodologies about coming up with release dates that can preserve the mental health of the team that we're in, please do let us know. But above all things, when it comes to dates and ETAs and stuff like that, number one priority is preserving the mental health of our team. And I don't currently see a way to provide estimates for you that doesn't have some sort of like negative effect on the mental health of anyone through a number of reasons that we've just discovered. Let's move on to other questions. I'm going to get through the questions, and if we still have time, I'm going to rant about project management again. Just bear with me. All right, let's go ahead. Sorry, I got distracted by the flower. I still have that in my inventory as well. I like that. That's an example of an item which like a lot of people might say is malicious or problematic, but I say it's just a creative use. Right? Maybe it needs like a disclaimer or something. It's just a creative use of a bunch of components and shaders. It's really good. Moving forward to Zenru's question. Beside the desktop IK updates, have there been any other features that were developed as an obligation to a business client? Let's do some clarifying terminology. It was not an IK update. IK has not been touched. I mean, it might have been tweaked a little bit to be compatible with the new animation system, but it hasn't been touched to the level that IK update would signify. We did the animation update, and the distinction that's easy to manipulate and think about there is most of the animation system is making targets that move in a sort of walking stance. So if you imagine... if you imagine an early Boston Dynamics robot, that's pretty much what it does, right? It's like this rectangle represents the left foot, and the animation says left foot up, forward, down, up, forward, down, up, forward, down. And then somewhere in the code, we tell the IK, move the left foot so that it's within this box at this point, and then follow it. And so then the animation system's going like, foot up, foot forward, foot down, foot up, foot forward, foot down. And the IK is going, I must put the foot in the box. I must put the foot in the box. You combine both together and you get what looks like an IK animation. Feta! Feta! Please stop barking at the door. I know that you don't understand English. I might just pick him up and put him on my lap in a moment. Moving forwards. Actually, I didn't answer the question. I just like... ranted about the start of it. Have we have any other features that are an obligation to a business client? Yes, too many to look at, too many to comment on, but I will be putting them up on the universe's page or like a business page on like the website or the wiki in due course. Lots of them are actually beneficial to you as well. So a good example is keyboard look. That was entirely business driven. That was entirely funded by a business as well. They paid for every hour I worked on it. They paid for every hour I researched it, every hour I improved it, and every hour I'm going to improve it even more because I've got a tiny update I need to do to it. More on that one later. They also paid for join by URL. So indirectly, that sort of fixed up go.resonite.com. That's going to fix up join by URL once that gets merged. No TBD, no ETA on that one. And they also paid for the cursor update, which you'll see in Devlog as well. They paid 100% like for that cursor update. And most of the business client that paid for cursor updates doesn't tend to use VR that much, but they were okay with me also charging the money to update the VR cursors. So we got a full cursor overhaul for not free, for profit, basically. Yeah, there's taxes and stuff, but, you know, whatever. I know that it's difficult, and I sometimes see people like, I've had a couple of comments on some of my YouTube videos from devlogs about business features or some GitHub issues where people are like perturbed by it. And it's like, we're doing this the best possible way. I'm doing them. Fruk is working on all the stuff that you guys want. So we're trying to minimize that as much as possible. Whenever we do a feature for the business, we expand it beyond the scope of the simplistic business ask into how does it fit into the methodology of the Fruks engine? How does it work for users who maybe aren't this business client? And is there anything we can tack on that is reasonable to tack on that would also benefit the business client and our users? So like we're doing it the best way possible. And at the end of the day, like the money that they are paying, in some cases, literally feeding that dog over there that's barking. So I don't complain about it. Like, I think someone commented on one of the keyboard look videos of like, just give them all controllers. It's like, all right, okay. So you want us to like, you want us to buy like, I don't know, 20K Xbox controllers and ship them out to white collar IT workers? It's not going to work. Let's move on to Nuki's question. On the subject of how driving components work, how do dynamic variables work? I'm going to like glaze over this one. Fruks, feel free to correct me. I always feel bad because like I know how things work approximately, but not like detailedly. And that's because I haven't gone depth into the code base in that particular area. But I know enough about how they work to sort of tell you how they work approximately, right? So dynamic variables are actually stored inside a like lookup table. And then most of the issue with dynamic variables is trying to find the nearest lookup table. That's the dynamic variable space that you're in. So once it finds that lookup table, it's quite efficient. But if it struggles to find that table, it might be less efficient. A bit like dynamic impulses and how they need to search for dynamic impulse receivers. It's kind of the reverse problem, though, because dynamic variables usually go up the chain. And dynamic impulses usually go down the chain. And there's different like O of N's for those that you can work out. Like going up a tree should be a lower N number than going down the tree, but it does depend on the scenario. So you could just think of it like a library or a database that you put stuff into. It's once the space has been established, it's very, very good. I'm just reading through the code now. I don't know what like they're stored in. That makes sense. Values. A slim list. Fruks, if you're still there, there's a bunch of random collections in our code base, and I want to know the difference of all of them. So not to add to your plate, I don't know what like the difference between like a slim list and a bag is, like, because those are two ones that I don't think are like standard.net. But there's like slim list, which is in elements.core, and it looks like it's a re-implementation of the list to maybe be less chunky, which would imply by the slim name. And then there's bag. Here it is, bag editor. Async bag. Go to implementation of async bag. Slot bag. Slot bag isn't used. Sync element bag. That has to be used, right? Yeah, that's used. Okay, so bag looks like a data structure of collections, which is specifically designed to contain sync members and world elements. So that makes sense. There's complexities there with how they relate to each other and how they interop. That means that that does make sense to have unique behavior. Slim list, I'm not sure. It looks like a more efficient dynamic list or something like that. I always get the problem of that as well with collections in .NET. Same thing with link as well. I am forever hearing conflicting opinions about collections and link. I mean, L-I-N-Q, by the way, not L-I-N-K. L-I-N-Q is like a set of methods and a way of operating with data that is very expressive. Historically, link has been much slower than, say, like a regular for loop. And so I continue to hear that all the way into .NET 9, but I don't know how much that is there. And I also hear the same thing about collections. Most of the time, if I'm writing brand new code, I try to use enumerables because then it means that the collection implementation is agnostic and you can replace it quite easily. If any of those words didn't make sense, don't worry. I was just speaking about programming for like 5 minutes. Let's move on. Let's take a look. Where are we at? Okay, so we got rid of dynamic variables. Let's go down to Nami's question. If I may ask, can you talk about your business partners, clients? We're updating our case studies page on our website currently, actually. I was just missing a meeting because I was at the dentist. I wasn't intentionally missing a meeting. I was down at the dentist having my face worked on. We were talking about updating the case studies. On the topic of like which clients we can talk about or can't talk about, there is a little bit of an issue sometimes in that like it's not that I don't know or that I don't know that I can or I don't know that I can't. It's just like I don't know. So what I need to do is figure out with the people involved in each of those business relationships if they're okay with that information being public at this particular time. And until I know that, I can't share that. So the answer is And we answer it in turn. Can you talk about your business clients? Some of them. Who are they? We can talk about some of them. What do they use Resonite for? Okay, that one I can do. So we've got a bunch of broadcasting event stuff. That's mostly with Weverse, which you can look up. Like, all of their stuff's public, so just go take a look at Weverse's website, etc. They do a lot of events broadcasting, convention stuff, other projects. I don't know if they're public, so I'll skip over those for now. Other clients are using it for meetings. So we've got like a meeting thing. Reminder, COVID happened. And during COVID, a bunch of budgets got allocated to solving remote work. And so we picked up some of that. Training is another good example. It's often difficult to make a training scenario standardized. So let's say there's a specific scenario. I don't know. Let's do firefighting because I'm sort of impromptu expert on it based on how much TV I watch about the subject. Let's say that there's a particular scenario that's really difficult to train. I don't know, some building's on fire. You would have to set up that building for every single firefighter you want to put through that drill, or you could put a VR headset on them and hit like reset on a button, and it will reset the scenario and they can go through that whole thing. Training scenarios go from anything from, we haven't actually had any fire, it's just like I'm familiar with it quite a lot from TV. But we have had industry, architecture, public transit. I said architecture. Yeah, that'll do. That sort of stuff. Is it confidential? I answered that one. Do they provide fat stacks of Polymer notes? It depends on the business, and it depends on the license that they are established under. The big one that made the Locomotion animation update happen and is responsible also for keyboard look, join by URL, cursor overhaul, all that stuff. They pay us hourly, and that means that every hour I work to improve them gets me a defined amount of money, which of course I won't share, into the company's kitty, which keeps the company alive and keeps food on everyone's table and allows Fruks to continue focusing on delivering everything that he wants to make Resonite successful. So I think that's awesome. And if that speech hasn't sort of converted any of you to being okay with this business client stuff, maybe direct message me privately. Let's talk about it some more and I'll explain how business works. Zenry says, if you can't name names, can you name how many? Between 5 and 20, depending on the month. Ventpol says, wait, because of universes will be technically of go.sunnydale.com. No, so universes are like a sort of marketing buzzword for like a bunch of switches I can flick right now. And when we head towards Sunnyvale, which was in Devlog quite a while ago, that is on the tail end of universes and moving more towards sort of a white label product. I don't like that term though. But so unless you have like enterprise support, you won't get a different go. Like go.resonite.com will still be go.resonite.com. With enterprise support, we go as far as like completely replacing Resonite wherever we can. And that goes all the way down to the URLs as well. So instead of ResRec, it'll be like CorpoRec. And yeah, I know that sounds a little bit dystopian, but it's important for sort of separation of concerns and ideas and disassociating the two products. I got the picture, I think. Yeah, here's a picture. This is like the sort of like complexity and availability of customizations that exist in the engine for you. So as a user, you get everything a user has. As the group, you get slightly more because you can kind of do management of multiple people and how much space they have and things like that. Universes, you get even more. You start unlocking branding opportunities, specific stuff that you need to tweak and stuff like that. And then enterprise support is basically like, you've got a big checkbook. What do you need? Would like a check, please? So like, it's cool. Let's take a look. Next question. Nuki says, does this lookup stuff happen every frame? No. It happens on events. It's all event-based. Again, this isn't exact, so please don't quote me. But let's say that you have... I'll just open up a paint. I'm just going to paint. Where are we? Paint. All right, so let's say you've already got one going. So this is going to be a dynamic variable space. And then underneath it, we've got like a hierarchy of slots going all the way down, and here's our value, and then here's our space. When this value is created, it needs to go up this tree until it finds a space that's compatible with its settings. And once it's found that, those two then just link because it's bound, right? They then just link together. And that means that we can cut out the middleman, all this like hierarchy, and we can just operate over this link. Now, let's say you take the slot that this value is on and you reparent it. So you take, I don't know, maybe a couple of slots higher. So let's say here, you take that and instead you attach it somewhere else. So we'll just draw another space over here and link that up. Come on, it's paint, what do you expect? At this point, you've broken this link, right? This link no longer occurs and it needs to be updated. And the way that that gets signaled to be updated is there's an event that comes through as part of that whole orchestration. It is abstracted a little bit that says, hey, we've changed parents. You're going to need to then perform the operation again and try and find a space to bind to. And then it'll search through and find it. I hope that makes sense. So that's the answer. Electron says best would be put them on the same slot as the space or a direct child. Don't worry about it too much. It's basically if you're moving parents a lot, you might need to think about it. That sounds like weird. That sounds like, for those with divorced parents, apologies. It sounds like, you know, that sort of like, oh, whose house are you going to this weekend? Your mother's or your father's? What about Christmas? Is Christmas Day going to be at your mother's or your father's? Don't switch parents a lot. For anyone with a divorced family, you know how accurate that is, and I'm sorry that you had to deal with that. You'll be pleased to know that now that my father's side of the family live in the UK and my mother's side of the family, well, immediate mother's side of the family are in Spain, if I head that way for any holiday period, they both feel offended if I don't see either one of them. So I always, always have to go to both. So if I go across that ocean, I have to go to the UK and I have to go to Spain. Otherwise, one of them will grumble. It's like, yeah, you came across the ocean and you saw mum, but you didn't see dad. It's just like, Anyway, yeah. So if you're changing parents a lot like that, it will require a lot more linking between dynamic variable spaces. But if they're stationary, it doesn't really matter, right? If you're stationary, you can like work on other concerns. Hey, fella, you want to come back on my lap? Yeah. Okay, look, a treat for you, the return of Dog Cat. Oh, look at my Mixer merch. I've got Mixer merch on. Limited edition, this is. I didn't realize. All right, so we've got a question from Ozzy. Big yawn. What's up, mister? Hey, can you ask a question to the camera? Oh, I got you, I'm sorry. I got you. Look at the camera. You're not going to, are you? He's just looking at me. Never mind. Ozzy asks, I got a really silly question relaying a concern that I don't really know how to address exactly. I know some friends are excited for photon dust, but not excited for particles being used more and thus hurting their performance in regards to GPU rendering. I don't want to be one to dismiss their concern, but how would you answer something like that? This comes up a lot, and I really wish it didn't, because there's nothing really that we can do about it. So I can tell you how optimized photon dust is, and I can tell you that it's going to be much better than the Unity particle system, because I know those for a fact. Like, I trust that Fruxx has done it well. I've been reviewing the code, and it looks great. But Fruxx has done all the work that they can, but what they can't do, what they can influence, but they can't do, is ultimately control user behavior. So, when Feta's off, I don't want camera on. It's weird. It's just like crotch cam if Feta's not on my lap, and I don't want that. I didn't realize they'd go off. What was I saying? Oh yeah. So like, it is performant, right? But the thing that we can't change is how much people use it. So if by releasing an optimized, well-performant feature, we suddenly have lots of people being interested in and using it, that like, it isn't our fault. Like, that should be a good thing. So there is a responsibility there as well. And I feel like more of that responsibility should be put on those users that are considering using it, right? So we've done everything in our power to make it performant and responsible. Please now, users, do everything in your power to make it responsible and performant. Because this problem has existed with the old particle system as well. Like, there's nothing stopping you from right now on the regular build going into a world and having particles that crash a session. We actually had a couple of people doing that back in the day. I think what they were doing, sorry to tangent for just a moment, but they found a sparkler, firework sparkler item, and they would just go into a world and duplicate it until the session crashed. And that was because of the particle system. And like, there's nothing we can do about that, right? The solution there isn't, not do the particle system or hyper-focus on optimizing the particle system so if you have 5,000 sparklers in a world, it doesn't crash. The fix there is a cultural one where it's like, hey, can we please try and maybe not overuse them? Now, of course, Nuki brings up, you're quite right, Nuki, and I was going to touch on it, but we could do more to support you in that endeavor. So things that we can do there and features that do have GitHub issues are things like restrictions for a world, performance restrictions or qualities, stuff like that. You'll be familiar with VR chats where it can say like, hey, this avatar's got 5 particle systems on it, therefore it's poor. We wouldn't do it exactly like that. And that's a cloud idea. Going to refer you back to the bucket. Like, we don't know what that would look like. We have to think about it, but we could have some system that does that. We could also have performance profiling systems that enable you to sort of see, hey, I am going overboard here. I do have too many particles. But until we start looking at those features, we don't know. And so there is a level of responsibility that is on users there. I guess that's what I was trying to explain. Okay, moving forwards to Nuki's question. Keeping the link in mind and going back to it on slot changes, otherwise re-optimize. Yeah, just like dynamic variables, they're beautiful. There are like caveats and other things that you can do, but those are highly specific and relate to like your exact setup. So do keep that in mind. And again, like I just can't, like, there's a number of things I know that you shouldn't do, but like I can't list them off the top of my head. It's just if I was about to do them, I'd be like, no. It's like when someone asks me where a component is, you know, it's like name a random component, where is it? I don't know. But if we remove the like linguistic element from it, I can find it. Like it's like an intuition thing. Rather than remembering, oh, it's in transform drivers, what I remember is like the intuition, how I felt when I opened up the attach component thing, and then something just clicks and it goes in. A bit like, I don't know, tying your shoelaces or your phone number, stuff like that. Eventually you stop remembering it as like a piece of data and you start just sort of intuiting it. Muscle memory, yeah, that's a good term for it. I think we're out of questions. I was going to rant more about project management, but I've forgotten what I was going to rant about. So I'm going to scroll up and take a look. Oh, yeah, I remembered. So the other problem that happens with project management, particularly when Scrum is done bad, is because it starts to become a forcing function in a lot of conversations, it also becomes a sort of weird political thing. So what happens there might be, and this can happen depending on if story points are days or numbers or whatever, it doesn't really matter, but you can start looking and comparing the performance across teams, and then that starts becoming very political. There are points at Mixer where it felt like I was running a presidential race for my features, and it was very uncomfortable. And I'm only learning really sort of like years after that happened that that wasn't okay, and that that wasn't a good work environment, because it's ridiculous. It's things like, let's say one team is struggling to maintain velocity in their area of focus for a project, but all other teams are being okay with that area of velocity. Now, in isolation, that's fine. And as a group, that can be fine as well, if you talk about it healthily and respectfully. But what could happen is a higher up manager pulls a performance report and sees team A are doing 50 story points a sprint, team B are doing 49 story points a sprint. That's about the same. But team C, they're only doing 12 story points per sprint. We should go badger them. We should go harass them in some way to make it them, you know, work faster. And that's really unhealthy. Sometimes the other thing happens, though, which is someone inside that underperforming team, particularly if it's the manager of that team, starts trying to do like funny stuff to make their performance numbers look better. So they might block other features. Let's say team A needs to rely on dependency B that team C owns. Team B will just refuse to answer the emails from Team A about that dependency under the guise of being busy, but some part of their brain, and I'm not talking like, you know, maybe they're not even really consciously evaluating it. Maybe they're too busy or they're too stressed, etc., by their actual work. They are accidentally blocking the productivity of that original team and lowering the productivity of the entire team just because they don't want to look bad on a piece of paper about story points. And it's just like, it's just mind-blowing. It happened all the time. Particularly towards the end, because like for the entirety time of Mixer, I was a knowledgeable person about the entire stack. Like I could have worked on any team and any code base on that team. And so sometimes I knew how to fix something. And I would find a bug that I was passionate about and I would offer to fix it. And occasionally, like, the manager team would be like, nah, you can't fix that one. You're going to have to sit with my engineer and explain it to them. And again, that was sort of politics, right? It's like, you've got Prime, who isn't on this team, coming into this team's environment to fix a bug. That makes that team look, quote, bad if you've got the wrong work environment set up. Going back to actual relevant topics for a moment, Shifty's got a quote about the particle system from, I believe it's from The Resonance or some other thing. For the benefit of the recording, I'm going to read it anyway. Looks like this is Frooks. Yeah, this is Frooks. What's also big about the system is that it's multi-threaded, but also asynchronous. What that means is that when there are computations that are heavy, like there's a lot of particles of heavy computations, and when there's complex colliders too, it doesn't lock the frame rate to the rate of the simulation, but the game can keep rendering faster than the particle system does. So there's more there, but that's the, like, the gist of it. We're working on performance for that one from the start. So that's really cool to see. But do remember the social and cultural obligations as well, right? If you put 5,000 sparklers in the world, it's going to crash. With that, and my rant about project management over. If you're more, I'm interested in discussing that, do let me know, by the way, because I find it fascinating that, like, sometimes the reason why large companies aren't productive is because people are experiencing political troubles inside their teams. It's like, it's mind-blowing to me. But there we go. I think I'm going to leave off here, and I will get back to you next week. I'm doing a new thing, though, which is where I stop the recording. I'm going to instantly do the first part of processing it, and that way I won't forget to process it. Like, I'll do it processing whilst we're here, and you guys can nag me. You guys can nag me. Where am I? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and stop recording and then get the upload going.